This is Adele 6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for September 2014. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, and on the international scene,
Brazil will propose a permanent 60-meter ham radio allocation.
That and more on this month's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the official broadcast, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF in Nelson. First up tonight is news from the President, tonight presented by NZART Vice President Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. Stuart?
Thank you, Jim. Tonight I am standing in for our President, Vaughan, ZL1VH, who is enjoying a well-deserved break with his wife, Jenny. Westfest was held in Murchison over the first weekend of this month, with over 30 mainland amateurs attending, including myself. There will be a report on this enjoyable event in Brecon. A similar event was held a few months ago in Hawke's Bay. These are great events, they're cheap to run and bring amateurs in the provinces together. Proceeds from a raffle held at Westfest and the modest attendance fee resulted in a profit of $300, which was donated to the NZART World Radio Conference 2015 Fund. I would like to thank organiser Bob Macquarie at L3TY and his small organising team for this generous donation. On the subject of the WRC fund, Debbie at NZART HQ informs me that donations to this are being received in the form of waiving the subscription rebate and more. On behalf of Vaughan and Council, I would like to thank those of you who have been able to make a donation. Later in tonight's broadcast, we will hear details of the Otago branch commemorative activities at Shag Valley, the New Zealand end of the first radio contact with Great Britain nearly 90 years ago. I hope as many of you as possible make the effort to contact the station and help reward the efforts made by Branch 30. The National System Trustees would like me to raise a couple of important points with users. First, please take care to clip your microphone into a holder when it is not in use. This prevents lock-ups due to the push-to-talk press or switch being accidentally operated. Second, please note that unauthorised extensions to the system are not permitted. Recently, a crossband link caused annoying lockups and noise. Please take note of these requests, as considerable waste of trustee time can result. On the subject of the national system, I'd like to promote daytime use of the lower HF bands, particularly 40 metres. As the system only allows one QSO at a time, you might want to consider shifting to 40. From mid to late morning, 40 will usually provide nationwide coverage and a dipole is only 20 metres long, which most amateurs' properties will accommodate. And note that most TV sets, especially the dreaded plasma devices, are off during the day. Finally, in 2015, Council is looking at joining the WIA in a commemoration of the centennial of the Gallipoli landings, commencing Anzac Day. This will involve WIA and NZART special event stations on Anzac Day, and encouraging special event stations over the period of the Gallipoli campaign. Council is also looking at a commemorative certificate which would be presented to amateurs for working special event stations during a period following Anzac Day. More details will be announced later. That's all from me tonight, Jim. Vaughan will be back next month. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Stuart. The Vice President of NZART, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. To news from NZART headquarters, and it's to Upper Hutt we go, and say a very good evening to NZART Business Manager, Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Over the past few months, I've been rather surprised to find that there are a considerable number of members who either don't know about or don't read the fortnightly publication HQ Infoline, which is emailed to subscribers. This was introduced in January 2001 by Jim, ZL2BHF, to fill a gap between the bi-monthly issues of Break-In. More importantly, it was designed to keep you all up to date on contests, FIMTAG recommendations, council resolutions, and many more events in and around New Zealand and abroad. If you wish to subscribe or want to know more about HQ Infoline, please contact me or visit the NZART website. I would also recommend that all branch secretaries ensure your branch has at least one copy of this, and perhaps excerpts could be used in your branch newsletters. Recently, I was advised by the ARRL bookshop that the 2015 ARRL handbook is due out in October. Approximately every 5 years or so, NZART purchases a box of these books to on-sell to members here in New Zealand. I appreciate that many of you can and prefer to purchase overseas publications online yourselves. However, there are some who find it easier to be able to buy direct from me. I am keen to gauge interest from any of you who would find it easier to purchase direct from headquarters. Costs at this stage could be prohibitive. However, I anticipate the total cost to purchase per book could be around the $100 mark, although this is still to be determined. Finally, Break-In is due out in the next couple of weeks. Included in this issue is the Returning Officer's call for nomination of President and Council. Please, all members, put your thinking caps on and consider who you believe could add value to the running of your association. That's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
And thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, our NZART Business Manager. On last month's official broadcast, and in a special issue of Headquarters Infoline, details have been given about the Otago Branch 30 Shag Valley radio operation from the 11th to the 19th of October. It's an activity to recognise and celebrate the 90th anniversary of the Frank Bell 4AA and Cecil Goyder 2SC's historic QSO, the first ever radio communications between the UK and New Zealand, an event that changed radio communications forever. Martin Belch, ZL4JH, joins us now with some of the specifics of the Otago Branch 30 operation.
We're putting up a vertical for 80 metres. A quad's going to be hung for the trees for 40 metres. A lattice tower's going up with the club's tri-bander for 20, 15 and 10. ZL2CC Mike Mather is arriving with 70 metre equipment. VHF and UHF crossbanders are being set up in the hills behind the station to access the national system and Dunedin's 690 and IRLB node 6507, plus an STSB repeater on 6625 to guide visitors in. New Zealand SAR have generously donated the IPStar satellite linking gear for access to emails on the internet. And when's it all happening? Saturday the 4th of October, the team joins our host Johnny Bell and his family, the 6th generation Bell family on the station, and we start the big assembly on site. We'll probably be there on the Sunday as well. Then back to the site on Saturday the 11th of October to finish the installation with operating starting as facilities become available. And we'll be working right through then to the big moment on Saturday the 18th, around 18:30 hours New Zealand Standard Time, or 19:30 New Zealand Daylight Time, 06:30 UTC, because that's when the first contact was made. Everybody's welcome. And if you can't make it, listen to Jim Sullivan's Sounds Historical program on Radio New Zealand National on the Sunday evening the 19th. He'll be recording on site as it all happens. The operating will take place from the historic Shearers' Quarters, with the main aerials in the nearby Lucerne paddocks, but visitors will be able to visit the museum on site as well, with some of the original transmitting and receiving equipment. It's quite fascinating, that museum. It shows that the Bell family back there were involved in a lot more than just radio, all sorts of scientific work, so a really good and exciting week is expected for all.
Thank you, Martin. Martin Belch, ZL4JH, reporting for Otago Branch 30. For a look now at international amateur radio news, we join the team at the Amateur Radio Newsline.
Anatel, which is the national telecommunications agency of Brazil, will propose new 60-meter amateur service allocation from 5275 to 5450 kilohertz. This at the next meeting of the Inter-American Telecommunication Commission, or CITEL, slated to take place from September 29th to October 4th at Merida City, Mexico. Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, has the details.
The decision to move forward occurred on September 11th at the Brazilian Communications Commission. This is a consultative committee for WRC 15 subjects formed by government, industry, and representatives of the society and is led by Anatel. The 5275 to 5450 kHz contiguous secondary allocation is the widest segment recently suggested by compatibility and sharing studies at the ITU. Even so, the preliminary proposal will also consider national adaptation, since it will include a footnote where it is described that each national administration can provide additional constraints to provide further compatibility with existing services and other national and local spectrum realities. As reported, Canada also plans to introduce a similar request at the upcoming meeting. In its case, the proposal will be for a split allocation running from 5.330 to 5.355 megahertz, and the second beginning at 5.405 and ending at 5.430 megahertz. In both proposals, the amateur service would be on a secondary, non-interfering basis to existing 60-meter spectrum users. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in South Mississippi.
Despite Canada and Brazil being the first countries in Region 2 to officially support amateur service around 5,300 megahertz, several others already have authorized domestic allocations considering past successful experiments. IARU Region 1 has released edition 6.14 of the free VHF Manager's Handbook covering the VHF, UHF, and microwave amateur radio bands. While primarily aimed at activities on these bands in Europe, Africa, and parts of the Middle East, the publication contains quite a bit of information applicable to operations worldwide. This is especially true in the area of planning contact attempts between various IARU regions. The handbook has chapters on band planning, contests, propagation, research, operating procedures, and satellites. It also goes into intricate detail on a number of technical aspects, such as specifying a standard for the use of circular polarization, defining which way helical beam antennas should be threaded. You can download your copy of this informative publication at tinyurl.com/IARU-VHF-handbook-6-14. An interesting page that measures the transmitter performance of noise element production by a number of popular amateur radio transceivers has been created by Jim Brown, K9YC. In his research, Brown measured such areas as key clicks, intermodulation distortion, and phase noise. You can see the results of his study on the web, k9yc.com/txnoise.pdf. A new Lithuanian postage stamp features the amateur radio satellites Lithuanica SAT-1 and LitSat-1. The two CubeSats were launched to the International Space Station last January 9th and deployed from the ISS on February 28th. Lithuanica SAT-1 carried an FM transponder and a camera, while LitSat-1 had a linear SSB and CW transponder developed by William Lyonar, PE1RAH. LitSat-1 was the lighter satellite and re-entered the Earth's atmosphere on May 23rd. The heavier Lithuanica SAT-1 remained on orbit until this past July 28. It is reported that Netherlands Public Broadcasting plans to end its medium-wave AM broadcasts. The Netherlands Ham Radio News website says that both the 747 kHz in Flevoland and 1251 kHz in South Limburg are slated to be closed, but no dates for this action to take place have yet been announced. Another European broadcaster is planning to stop all of its RF-based transmissions. Medium Wave Info reports that Deutschland Radio will end broadcasting in the medium and long wave bands by year's end. A press release says that on December 31st, transmitter sites Donnebach on 153 kHz, Salendorf, and Oranienburg on 177 kHz, along with the Alhoming transmitter on 207 kHz, will close. In all, more than six medium wave stations are planned to close by or on December 31st, 2015. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, from Charleston, West Virginia, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.
And as always, we say thank you to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. Now it's Tawaro News, and it's time to say good evening and welcome to the Tawaro President, Kathy Purdy, ZL2ADK.
Good evening, everyone. The YL Activity Week finished last night and was once again a success. Several YLs that we don't normally hear on the air came up, and others were on frequencies that we don't normally hear them on. Thank you to those that put up with us all in the last week, especially on the national system each evening. We hope we didn't upset too many regular skids. The Thelma Super Memorial Contest for next year will be held on the evenings of the 11th and 12th of April. Our new contest manager, Ruth Siddell, 4KA, has been busy rewriting the rules so they are more understandable, and these, along with the scoring and log sheets, will be available on our website. We look forward to a fun couple of evenings for both OMs and YLs. Congratulations to Hamilton Branch for being awarded the 2015 NZART Conference. We have been in contact with them re our requirements and look forward to another successful conference. Hopefully we won't need to meet so early for our AGM. Some of us feel that if it gets much earlier in the day, we'll be able to have a pyjama party as well as an AGM. The rules for our Mountain Buttercup Award have been altered to make it more obtainable. These rules are very simple and will be available also on our website. We look forward to more applications. Thanks, Lynette, ZL1LL, for organising this. Next month, a few of us will be attending the ALARA get-together in Port Nelson, just out of Newcastle. It will be great to take WIRO's greetings to our closest neighbours and to meet up with the WIRO members that live across the Tasman. A full report of this event will appear in our December bulletin. Talking of our bulletin, congratulations Topsy, ZL2LS, on the two we have already received and for developing our new format. She is always looking for articles for this, and I suggest that anything that you have should be in her hands by the 30th of November. If you have not received the last two bulletins, please contact either Topsy or Heather, ZL2TYF. There could be a problem with your email address that we have, or maybe you haven't paid your subs for this year. Heather's always pleased to receive these. Well, that's it for tonight, Jim. Good night.
Thank you, Kathy. Reporting for WIRO, Kathy Purdy, ZL2ADK. Finally, in tonight's official broadcast lineup, it's Branch News. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. The Whangarei Amateur Radio Club, Branch 28 NZART, is holding its next meeting on Wednesday the 1st of October at the clubrooms at Heritage Park in Maunu at 7:30pm. Brian Winger, ZL1BSW, will be giving a presentation on the new Banana Pi and setting the device up as an internet station for APRS. Now to North Shore Amateur Radio Club, where amateur radio classes are again going to be held over the weekend of the 11th and 12th of October at the clubrooms at 400 East Coast Road in Mairangi Bay. If you know of anyone interested, please let Vaughan Henderson or Julian Dukes know. Vaughan can be reached on vaughanh@vodafone.co.nz and Julian at jules_d@extra.co.nz. The next meeting of the Napier Amateur Radio Club is on Wednesday the 1st of October at the clubrooms at 123 Latham Street, starting 7:30pm. This will be a quiz night, followed by sticky buns and coffee or tea. From the Wellington Amateur Radio Club, Branch 50 NZART, where the next meeting is on Wednesday the 15th of October, starting 7:30pm at the Lutheran Church Hall in King Street in Newtown. The October meeting will feature the Blackwood Cup, where contestants talk briefly about a recently constructed homebrew project. And there'll be a talk by Dave McCarter, VE3GSO, on balance and tuners. Nelson Branch 26 NZART has their next meeting on Wednesday the 15th of October, starting 7:30pm at the National Party Electorate Office Meeting Rooms, which is on the corner of Waimea and Quarantine Roads. The meeting will feature a show and tell. And finally, to Christchurch Branch 05 NZART, where the next meeting is on Wednesday the 1st of October. And that'll see Paul Dixon, ZL3VY, giving a talk on his antenna analyzer. And meetings are held at 7:30pm at the new clubrooms at No. 5 Idris Road in Fendleton. Back to you, Jim.
And thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next issue of NZART Headquarters Info Line will be emailed on Friday the 10th of October. Remember, you can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZART Headquarters on the NZART webpage. That's at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8pm on the Sunday of Labour weekend, the 26th of October. This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for September 2014. Good night, everyone. Good night now.